pathological matrix models.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I know you have had several talks this week, but you invited me. I did not invite myself. So anyway, this is recent work with Davide Gagliotta, who's a student in Queens. Actually, he's finishing now and he's going to Harvard. And the subject is open-closed duality in the solvable context of low-dimensional string theory and topological string theories in particular. And surely open-closed duality is, if I had to mention one single idea in string theory in the last few years, that would be my pick. It underlies several related important phenomena in string theory, perhaps the most striking and the one that eventually we really like to understand in detail is the correspondence between gauge theories of the kind of, you know, we'll dream ordinary Young-Mills theory, but for now, supersymmetric extensions like n equals to 4. I was saying the relation between gauge theories and gravitational theories that, in fact, have their full quantum completion in theory of closed strings. So obviously, there's been an enormous amount of work in this context, but I think it is fair to say that we really do not understand this yet. We do not know how this duality comes about, how general it is, what is the microscopic mechanism that underlies it. Of course, much of recent work is related to large N gauge theories, and large N will play a major role in this talk. And of course, from the original Tuft argument about large N expansion of gauge theory, we do get some insight.
First, I want to apologize for the
we do get some insight, and making that insight more precise in this solvable content will be one of the goals of this talk. There are related ideas in a much simpler context, a context of topological string theory, so-called large N transitions in a bunch of topological models. The prototype is the duality between the so-called closed topological A model on a conifold and Chern-Simons theory on a free manifold. So here you think about the Chern-Simons theory as the open side and the closed topological A model is the closed side of the duality. And there's been very interesting recent work in the context of the B model. Perhaps here I should have added the recent work of Witten. That then looks quite different from this more standard treatment of the B model by these authors. And finally, my last item in this sort of motivational list is the work of Sen about unstable brain decays that I think demonstrates open closed duality in a particularly sharp way. If you consider unstable D-brains, for example, in bosonic string theory, you can describe the classical process of decay in two completely different ways, superficially. On the one hand, you can think of the brain as emitting closing radiation. It will decay into a bunch of closing matter and radiation. On the other hand, you can follow the role of the tachyon down this potential and get a description of the exact same process from the completely different point of view of the world volume dynamics on the brain. And what we have learned is that you should not attempt to put both sets of degrees of freedom at the same time. That would be overcounting. You should either do one or the other. And that provide each of them provides a complete explicit and complete description. And this has been demonstrated in a particularly striking way in the example of two-dimensional string theory, where this is, of course, many of you are experts in this audience. This is the theory which is solved by the double second limit of the matrix model, these simple one strings. And then you can very explicitly see this relation between the description in terms of closed strings, which are bosons, and the open strings, which are the fermionic degrees of freedom. And this is just the well-known mathematical equivalence of what not known as bosonization. So this has been demonstrated very sharply last year. And here you really see that the open string field degrees of freedom completely capture the closing dynamics of the emitted radiation. It's a bit unclear whether the opposite is true in this case. The description of the open single stream in terms of the closed single stream will become singular in certain ways. Anyway, these were meant to be just motivations, and in fact, there will be a couple of more sort of general motivational slides. Let us remind ourselves of this classic analogy of Tuft. If we consider a gauge theory where all the fields are in the adjoint, well, Feynman diagrams can be classified according to their genus. I'm using the usual double line notation of Tuft. And here I'm expanding in genus, and I'm also expanding in the Tuft coupling, which counts a number of boundaries, which I call here H. And this would be a typical genus one diagram. And then, of course, the generic speculation that Tuft advanced, and we are still trying to make precise, is that somehow, as we sum over the number of boundaries, this expansion, this I'm just considering here the vacuum diagrams, should be recast as the topological expansion of some closing theory, where GS is the genus counting parameter, and T is some parameter of the corresponding closing theory. Now, I want to elaborate on this a little bit because I think it's an important point. I think much of the intuition about how this works comes from the one example where we really know how to do this, which is the double scaling limit of Menetes models. There, you think of the matrix model, which is the open side of the duality, as simply a trick to discretize your Riemann surface. That's the old and still perfectly good viewpoint about the double scaling of matrix models. And then, in order to really obtain the continuum closing theory, you must take a continuum limit. It turns out that there is a critical value of the Tuft coupling. As you tune this T to this T star, only surfaces with infinitely many boundaries contribute. And then you can take a clever double scaling limit in which you get the full genus expansion of the continuum string theory. But clearly, in order to recover the continuum string theory in that language, you must send N to infinity and tune T to a specific value where only surfaces with several boundaries contribute, and the intuitive that corresponds to the idea that you are discretizing the surface and then taking the continuum limit. So that's perfectly good and beautiful. However, so the main point of this talk is that that is the wrong intuition for ADSFT. You should not try to use the same intuition for ADSFT, because clearly for ADSFT, T is a free parameter. You're not tuning it to any specific critical value. T can take any value you want. In particular, T could be small. That's a limit in which you can trust ordinary gauge theory perturbation theory. And well, then you must find a way for this open closed duality to work without thinking in that language of the surface being discretized and then this mesh becoming finer and finer. So the basic idea that I'd like to advertise is we're certainly not the first to come up with this idea, but I'm a big fan of this idea, is that the way open closed duality should really work is at even more fundamental level, at the level of the integrand in moduli space. You should not just try to match the open string answer integrated over all the moduli space of open Riemann surface and the closing answer integrated over the moduli space of Riemann surface. You can attempt to do better. You can take the piece of open string perturbation theory which is the Riemann surface with a certain number of boundaries, a certain number of holes, and before you integrate over all the moduli, map that to the corresponding Riemann surface of the closing perturbative expansion, where each hole gets replaced by an extra closing puncture. So the idea is that you have, you have in your topological expansion of the open scene theory, you have, for example, you know, genus one and three boundaries, and you should match this with a surface of genus one in the same moduli, where each hole is being replaced by a puncture. Now, of course, there are three extra moduli in the open surface which correspond intuitively to the length of the boundaries. So what you should more precisely do, you should integrate here over the lengths of these three boundaries. And the answer should be given by the closed surface where I have replaced each of the holes by an appropriate closing puncture. And then, of course, there is an external integral of all the other moduli, which is common to both expansions. Now, this is sketchy, but it can be made completely precise. In fact, there is very precise way to think about the moduli space of open Riemann surface and the moduli space of closed Riemann surface without punctures. And you can really show that there is a sort of projection map of this kind, where each fiber contains H parameter, the parameters that label the. So if this is my moduli space of genus of closed surface of genus G with H puncture, and this is my full moduli space of the open theory. Each fiber corresponds to the parameters I have for the length of the hole, and this can be made completely precise using some, you can decompose moduli space in some well-known way. In the string field theory, it works.
Do you have to sum over different decompositions? I mean,
excuse me? You have to sum over insertion?
Sum over different decompositions? I mean, globe to cover the whole moduli space of the surface with holes, can you?
Yeah, so the way you do, the open string moduli space can be described most efficiently with Witten's decomposition.
Okay, so that decomposition, right.
Based on strips and vertices.
Right.
This moduli space, I'm actually not aware of a really explicit published work, but there's a simple way to decompose the moduli space by considering the minimal area problem. So you want to get the decomposition of this moduli space in terms of cylinders. And we're going to do it as follows. We will construct the minimal area subject to the condition that non-trivial curves around the punctures have a certain specified length, L1, L2, or L3. And the composition, you have to impose another condition that the cylinders will, as the cylinders meet, distances between boundaries is pi. There are theorems that guarantee uniqueness of this metric, and then you have the composition which the cylinders sort of all come together and meet in some complicated way, and well, that's this vibration I'm describing. Yeah, thank you. So that's, if you have to come out of this with one message, that should be the message. We eventually would like to understand the SFT in this language, by some perturbative analysis of that kind, in which you have an open theory, which is the Young-Yates theory, and a closing theory, which is the theory in ADS, and you map them at the level of worship perturbation theory. So this is a description in terms of boundary states. So T is the same as the tooth parameter, as I had before, and that counts the number of boundary insertions. This is the boundary state. I'm integrating over this modulo rho, which here had indicated as the length L of the boundary. And the idea is that the integrated moduli space should really map to a certain puncture, which is inserted at specific point P on the surface. Then, of course, you're instructed to integrate over the position of P. That's one of the moduli you must integrate over. And you can easily convince yourself that the combinatorics works precisely in such a way that by the time you sum over all these insertions integrating over the surface, you get the exponentiation of the operator that deforms the closed conformal field theory. And that makes eminent sense. It's precisely what you want for T to be a closed parameter, which in ADS-FT will be related to the size of the space. space. So, of course, to make this a precise idea, SFT is perhaps a long shot, but you may try. You may try, for example, to take certain, if I had to suggest an attempt, you may try to take, for example, the ADS3 case with an Schwarz background and go to the infinity curve limit, find the brains there, and perhaps try to do something like that. But for now, we can have fun in the easier context of low-dimensional string theories. So this is a lightning review of string theory in low dimensions. They are defined by specifying a pairs of integer P and Q that define a minimal model. And then you follow the textbook recipe. You have a certain Mellor conformality theory, couple it to enough Liouvilles so that it's a total set of choice 26. And that gives you a definition of the theory in the continuum. Of course, if you try to follow that path, you get stuck soon because it's hard to compute these correlators. But the breakthrough of the early 90s was that these theories were solved by a completely different point of view, which is precisely this trick I was mentioning before, discretizing the surface using a matrix model and then taking this continuum limit, and then you get the complete solution of all these models. In fact, here I'm sort of distinguishing between different rows. Probably the models, for example, the 2,3 model is C equals zero, and that's pure gravity. So you're just doing discretized random surfaces in zero dimension, and then they grow net X of M from the real factor. These white dots are kind of odd because naively they are really out of, P and Q should be. In fact, this drawing is a little misleading. P and Q should be relatively prime. But the white dots are there in their own right. They are sort of, you can either think of them as some formal limit as Q goes to 1, these are P comma 1 model. And they are known to be topological string theory. So the simplest case, the 2,1 model, is topological gravity that has a apparently completely different definition in terms of intersection theory on the space of Riemann surfaces. I think it's still a bit of a mystery, and perhaps some light will be shed in this talk. How comes such completely different definition of the theory is really related to these ordinary bosonic string theories? Now, it's interesting that if you have the exact solution of the white dot theory, the topological theory, you can actually get all the information about theories in the same row by turning on the formation. In fact, it essentially exponentiates the closing correlator. Suppose you knew all the correlators for the topological gravity theory, knowing all the whole partition function as a function of arbitrary of this DN allows you to exponentiate the formation to move on to these other critical points. So in some sense, the topological theory knows about all of the physical theories. This cartoon is the understanding of the thing that comes from the 90s. Recently, I convinced myself that, in fact, all of these dots should become white.
Become what?
White.
Topological?
Yes. That there must be a reformulation, even of the higher Q theories, in terms of topological string theories. And if you read the recent paper of Cyber and Baffa, I think there is a structure there that it's begging you to make these dots white. But if I have time, I will make some comments in the end. But for now, the bulk of the talk, the part that we think we understand, is focusing on the white dots, in particular on the first one, which is topological gravity, and then somehow the others come for free because all the information is already there. So our point of view, instead of using the topological gravity formulation, which is kind of complicated, and for those of you in this business, you are trying to formulate this topological product counting intersection numbers on this moduli space, and there is a standard procedure. to do that, which was essentially in place in Witten's paper from the 80s. You reformulate the problem using some DRST machinery, and you get some topological two-dimensional quantum field theory that does that for you. On the other hand, naively, if I look at the values of the Katz formula, the 2,1 theory is C equal minus 2 matter with C equal 28 real. And that's the point that we are going to take in this talk. We are just doing bosonic things with minus 2 dimensional matter and 28 real. And that's our continuum definition of the theory. Of course, the theory is also solved by the double scale limit of the matrix model, but we're going to ignore this here. Our idea is that this is a continuum theory in its own right, and we assume we know all this correlator, which in fact we know. I mean, it may be a little difficult to compute in practice, but there is a clear algorithm to do so. And the next step will be to consider open-closed duality in this context. So that was my motivation, and that was what we are going to do now. I should have mentioned at the beginning that there's been recently a reinterpretation of this double scaling limit of the matrix model as quote-unquote open symphony theory on a bunch of deep brains of the theory. These are the deep brains which are localized as strong coupling in the Liouville direction, the so-called ZZ brains. It is my opinion that although clearly that's the right interpretation, this has not been done cleanly yet. If you consider the theory on N of these ZZ brains, there's a lot more stuff than just the tachyon. And it wouldn't help to integrate the massive modes out because the duality is supposed to work in the full quantum level. And so you have to come up with a better idea, and the better idea must be some kind of topological localization that allows you to argue that the massive stuff really does not contribute. So what I will demonstrate in this talk is that how this works, not for the ZZ brains, which are the brains localized in the strong coupling region of the Liouville vector, but for the brains which are extended in the Liouville direction. This was one of our motivations, try to understand this for the extended brains, the so-called FCZ brains, which up to now have been sort of more mysterious. And in doing so, we will find a surprise. We will find that these theories admit a open dual. So I'm in this slide, I'm considering these as closing theories. Now I will insert D brains and consider the word volume theory on these D brains and argue that the word volume theory on these D brains is completely equivalent to the closing theory according to an open closed duality dictionary. The theory that we will find on these D brains is something you already know. It's a concierge model. So, but I'm going ahead of myself. Let's proceed more slowly. So the 2,1 model is some closing theory. I'm focusing here on this white dot. And as I was saying, there is some intrinsic definition in terms of C equal minus 2 matter, C equal 28 UV. You can consider observables. And you can package all the information in the generating function of all closing correlators. There is actually, in this theory are simple enough that the closing observables don't grow exponentially as in more physical theories, but there's only a sort of, they're parameterized by an integer k. So if you know these partitions, this generating function, you know everything. And well, you do know everything because from the double scaling solution, it's known that this is just some tau function, some integral hierarchy. So the complete solution is actually available. The beautiful and mysterious observation that got us started is due to Concierge, and it's the fact that this very same closed string generating function amidst this really simple realization as an n by n Hermitian matrix model. So here X is just an n by n matrix. You see, you're integrating over X. Z is an external matrix, n by n matrix that you can diagonalize. So this answer depends on this on the n eigenvalues Zi of this matrix. And if you make this map between the eigenvalues Zi's and these closing sources Tk, the claim is that this matrix model is computing precisely this generative function of the closing observables. Notice that this has nothing to do with the double scaling limit of the double scale matrix model. Here I'm not double scaling anything. Here these are arbitrary. If you wish to consider this theory of finite n, you're welcome to do so. Clearly for finite n, you're not going to be able to compute all the tk's. If you keep n finite, you will be able to and start take n equals to 2 and take n very z1 and z2, we only span a subset of this infinite sort of set of tk's. And then of course you could, for example, do a toothed expansion, take n to infinity with the tk's fixed, et cetera, but there is no double scaling nor any reason to tune the tk's to any critical point. Now, the way the matrix, this thing works is really very pretty. And let me illustrate this in the simplest possible example. How do I compute the correlators of three cross strings, or one, or one, or one? Well, the recipe is what I had advertised here. You want to get the cross string amplitude on the sphere for three cross strings from the matrix model answer with three holes. So we draw the Feynman diagrams of genus zero with three holes. Here, there, perhaps I should have drawn them with double line to make it obvious that these are diagrams on the sphere with three boundaries. And then, well, then obviously, the Concevich matrix integrals. This is my propagator. So notice that these eigenvalues z's, since they appear in the kinetic term, you know, each boundary comes with an assignment of z. So z, it is a little bit as if you were choosing an independent open string coupling constant for each boundary. And then you compute, and miracles happen. Although generically, this sum of diagrams is some complicated rational function of disease, by the time you sum them to any given order, they can always be re-expressed in terms of the t's. So remember that the t's are given by this funny transform. And it's absolutely not obvious, it is obvious in this example, but it took Concevich some hardcore combinatorics to prove that this actually works in general. And then you see what's happening, that the diagrams with three holes are giving you the amplitude of the sphere with three functions. So this is begging to be reinterpreted as open-closed duality, exactly in this sense. So it is as if each hole in the Feynman diagram, which is parameterized by this capitalized parameter z, became, in the closing description, a particular sum of specific closing observables. And that's precisely the sum you need in order, of course, for this conjecture, I mean, this thing to work. So the so our basic proposal, this is open-closed duality, and we want now to demonstrate this from string theory. So Concevich had an algebraic geometric combinatoric approach, and now we will quote-unquote prove the same thing from string theory. So how do we prove this? Well, we want to reinterpret this matrix integral as an open string field theory. This is the open string field theory we are claiming on n stable brains. These are the brains which are extended in the Liouville direction, as opposed to the brains which are localized as strong coupling. So we consider a boundary state where we tensor this extended brain for the Liouville. Luckily, these extended brains come with a parameter, which is the boundary cosmological constant, and we it's natural to identify the boundary parameter with this parameter z that you will put in each hole. And then there is an appropriate meta boundary state, and I will talk about that later. So the idea is that, again, as you put this boundary on the worksheet and you integrate over the length, you should be able to replace that as a sum of particular closing insertions. So that's step one that needs to be shown. If you can show that, then you are effectively computing. You can now you can you put the following trick. You give me a certain amplitude of closed strings. I will reinterpret each puncture as coming from a shrunk boundary. And instead of computing the amplitude from the closing point, which is hard, I will compute in the open channel by looking at the word volume theory on the brains. And what I need to demonstrate is that the open string field theory on Disney brains is just the conservative integral. And the way this will work, there's a similar story, at least in spirit. It's the weight topological A model on a manifold of the form cotangent space of a manifold M becomes just Chern-Simons on the three-dimensional manifold. So this is a summary again of what I said. You basically, if you can show number one and number two, then you have the desired conjecture by the standard worksheet block. You compute the vacuum open string partition function in the presence of this boundary cosmological constant for the brains. That's one way to do the computation. That's precisely, of course, computing it by this matrix integral. Or you can compute in the closed channel, but then each boundary becomes a sum of closed strings, and that gives you the closed string partition function with the identification between the closed string surface and the open string variables. So that's essentially the basic claim. And now I have to convince you that this is correct by some computations. Yes?
What about this moduli space? I mean, this is probably just a silly way to think about it, but think about the moduli space, right? There are some limits which are kind of purely degenerations that give you the functions, some that give you the open string world lines. But yes. Aren't there mixed degenerations where some holes generate to become punctures, but others sort of degenerate the other way to form strips, so you have some kind of mixed boundary? Does that not ever appear?
I don't think so, because of this of this way to self setting up the minimal area problem. That seems to guarantee that it will not happen. Okay, so now I need to convince that this is true, and I will do it by sort of the obvious way is to look at carefully these conformal field theories and see what happens. So I don't need to belabor on this too much, but there are many formulations of topological gravity. If you're familiar with this, you will recognize these names. If not, don't worry. We will take this simpler point of view, sequel minus 2 meta coupled with the sequel 28 Liouville. And the reason for this slide, that those of you who are familiar with the old literature will know, that there have been endless debates about tech. This is very difficult. These things are very hard because of the notorious fact that in these theories, all the fun comes from contact terms. All the fun comes from, if you naively write down your answer, it would be zero, because essentially all observables are naively BRC exact. And then there is whole intricate story that you have to look at the equivariant Similarity of homology, and then you get some non-trivial contribution from the boundaries of multiplied space. That's okay, but we will not care in some sense, because the basic message here is that you should not attempt to compute things from the closing point of view, where life is very hard. Life is very hard because the composition of the closing moduli space is very difficult. And that's where all these people got stuck in some sense. As soon as you can, you should compute things from the open sim point of view, where the modular space is much simpler. And there, no subtleties will arise. And essentially, we were able to do this largely thanks to the fact now we have very explicit results for UVL correlators. So here begins the more technical part of the talk. So this is our worksheet Lagrangian. So we want to describe things in minus two dimensions. The obvious thing to do, you take two Grassmannov fields, which are just like bosons, except they are Grassmannov. And then you have a sequel 28 Lewitt, and then a BC ghost. There is a small subtlety here, and that's another reason why people got confused in the 90s. They were trying to do this with the Xieta system, but Xieta and Theta 1 and Theta 2 are not quite the same. There's a small mismatch in the zero modes. I don't think I should elaborate too much on this. But anyway, you can go ahead. You have your closing observer. There are certain primaries in the metal sector dressed appropriately with a new wheel. And then, of course, there's CC bar. And, again, our claim, and this is the correct form of the closing observable, they're already in the correct picture. There's no funny picture change you need to do. This will work if you were to work hard in the closing sector. But we are not interested in working hard. We want to not do things in the closing sector, but in the open sector. So to do things in the open system, we'll introduce D-brains with the following boundary condition: Dirichlet for the thetas, and then the Liouville boundary condition, that are these FCZ boundary condition, which amount to taking essentially Neumann boundary condition, but not just Neumann condition. You further want to integrate sort of a boundary cosmological constant operator with a certain coefficient, new boundary. And this actually is a beautiful interpretation that was known for a long time, although the details became clear only recently thanks to the work of FCZ. The interpretation is that this boundary state with parameter mu b, up to a Legendre transform, Laplace transform, the operator WL is a macroscopic loop operator. It's the operator that inserts a universe of length L, the case universe of length L in your two-dimensional quantum gravity interpretation. So L is the length measured. Here I'm using the non-critical string theory language, so the metric factor is e to the phi, a fiducial metric, and this is the length measure with e to the phi factor. So it's been known for a long time that in these low dimensional string theories, and this is not a generic fact, this will not happen in higher dimensional string theories, but it does happen here, that you can fully replace the macroscopic loop operator by its expansion as L becomes small. So the intuition here is that you have this WL, which is the macroscopic loop operator, creates a loop of length L. Now, what if the loop becomes small? Well, if the loop becomes small, you should be able to replace it by a sum of local insertions. And apparently, in these theories, this sum converges, it has a finite radius of convergence, and you can just replace the boundary state with a sum of closing. And the powers of mu come with the precisely, of course, the right powers to guarantee that Concevich formula works. So this gives an interpretation of Concevich formula in terms of UVL. control field theory. So that takes care of part 12 of the claim. I'm replacing boundaries with sum over crossings. And now I need to take care of part 2 of the claim, and that will work by considering the open string theory on these brains. So what you do, you want to consider the boundary conformal field theory with these appropriate boundary conditions. So there are d-linked boundary conditions of the theta, so there's a single copies of the theta. And then there are boundary operators like e to the alpha phi for the UV factor. And you see, here you immediately realize that some miracle must happen because this is a complicated spectrum of open strings. So why in the world should this complicated open string theory just collapse with simple metaxing? And this is an observation that was due to Distler, but he was doing it for in the closed theory, in each kind of half of the closed theory, and he was taking the cosmological count to be zero. The observation is this, that you can combine the matter and the uvil by using a bosonization trick of Filama, Finek, Schenker, in such a way that you get a bosonic beta gamma system of a dimension 2 minus 1, which whose purpose in life is to almost exactly cancel everything that comes from the BC system, which is fermionic. And so, for example, in Lupamp, all the oscillators with exactly cancel pairwise. However, remember that here I'm not doing the free theory. Here I'm doing this complicated boundary conformal field theory, which is highly non-trivial. And it's a miracle that things still work. And essentially the miracle, you see the point, the subtlety here, is that take into the, you want to check this OP. You want to check that the beta gamma OP is 1 over z. But as I do the OP e to the b phi, e to the minus b phi, well, this is the real field theory. So all sorts of junk will appear here. But the miracle is that for this value of the center charge, this guy is a degenerate primary. And in fact, the OP truncates just that. So miracles do happen, and this bosonization works. And once you have got this far, then it's no surprise anymore that the theory will collapse, because you can immediately get, well, clearly there is a supersymmetry in the game. This is the supersymmetry generator. And this supersymmetry generator commutes with the BRST operator. And now, well, you write down the messy, generic, complicated Wittgenstein open string field theory, where for ND brains, psi is the full string field. A priori, psi contains the whole tower of modes of the open string between brain I and brain J. But thanks to the fact that the Worksheet action is a QS commutator, you can argue, in fact, that only the lowest mod survives. And the more formal argument is as follows. You write down the open string field theory action, you realize that it's, there's an action of this scale supersymmetry. The action is QS closed. And you can argue that only things in the cohomology of QS survive. And the only object in the cohomology of QS is the tachyon, just the lowest dimensional operator you can think of. So anything else is a QS term. So essentially, this is just a more formal way of saying that almost everything cancels pairwise, and only the lowest states survive. In fact, once you've got to this point, you see X is now the coefficient. So T is my tachyon vertex operator, and X is coefficient. So clearly, I got a cubic matrix model. And now I need to compute these blue terms, which are the coefficients. And to do that, I need to, well, let's see. If I were to be naive, I could immediately conclude that the cubic term is 1, and the quadratic term has got to be something like that. And the reason is the following, that I simply count powers of degree moment. For this particular value, the center charge, to saturate degree momentum conservation, the degree momentum must add up to 3. So 1, 2, 3 does nothing to, I don't need to expand. Well, I don't need any extra insertion from the interaction. It's got to be 1. Here, in order to saturate the momentum, I need 1 extra maybe insertion. This is a naive argument. The more correct argument actually shows that this is true. And it's, however, interesting to go through the argument because there is an important lesson there. The lesson is the following, that naively, okay, look, this vertex operator is a no-shell vertex operator. So you must think I'm saying something stupid, because how come the kinetic term of two on-shell objects is non-zero? And the reason is, of course, you've got to be more careful. There is a rational behavior, essentially. The two-point function is diverging, and if you regulate it properly, you get a non-zero contribution. I mean, you can, just impress you, these are some of this formula. You know, it's not too complicated. You have to carefully go through these integrals and whatnot. This works, and you get precisely this sum of boundary 1 plus boundary I dot boundary j, but you also learn something else, that since everything is coming from the L 0 going to 0 limit, everything is coming from the limit in which in this usual decomposition might go over the space in terms of strips, each length of the strip is diverging. So this is the limit in which the full open field theory collapses to ordinary field theory, in this case, just a metric center. This is also nice because from the closing point of view, if you think of it in terms of the closed moduli, this is the limit in which the boundaries are colliding. So in terms of Warshield duality, this is the limit in which the functions are colliding, which is what you after all knew already, that everything is coming from the generation of boundaries. So you can go on and get an even better handle of this by arguing as follows. The complete solution of the closing theory, which I'm reviewing here, comes from the following consideration, which are due to Witten and Bagger, Verlinde. You can look at what happens as the punctures collide. As the punctures collide, you can fuse them and get a third puncture, and you also get a contribution as a puncture collides with a node of the degenerating surface. You can express this algebra of contact terms by looking at this generating function. You see, this looks complicated, but it's really not. A derivative with respect to t means that I'm inserting an operator in an amplitude. And these equations, what I'm telling you, for example, this one is the contact terms that come when two functions collide. And this last one, since an explicit power of this thing, is the contact term that comes when a boundary collides, I mean, a function collides with a node of the circle, of the singular surface. And there's a highly non-trivial consistency requirement here that this, in order for these constraints to have a solution at all, well, these L's must form a Virasoro algebra. So what we did, we extended this contact term algebra adding boundaries. So now let's ask ourselves what happens as I bring a closing puncture to a boundary. I need to look at various ways in which the Riemann surface can degenerate. But the constraints are so strong, since this must be a Virasoro algebra, that there's a unique, essentially unique way to do it. See, also because I know these powers of Z from conservation of the Liouville momentum. So I learn the partition function of the open-closed theory in terms of when I have to turn on both sources for the crossings and I have a boundary, and given this very non-trivial constraint, this unique solution, which is the purely closed theory with a shift. So this is yet another way of arguing that in this theory, I put deep rains, and I just replace them by shift of the closing sources. So in this model, all the fields can be extracted from the open stream vacuum amplitudes on an infinite number of deep rains. And perhaps this is a more general fact. Now, clearly I focus here on the simplest case, but it's pretty clear that this will generalize to all the higher rows, at least. So let me quickly show how we are in the process of doing this, but let me quickly show how we think this will generalize. For example, for the second row. So they, those of you who are in this business will may immediately object that while the Witten open symmetry theory is cubic, consider each time matrix model for the higher rows are, you know, have higher potentials, in particular quartic for the second row. Well, but of course, you can always get a quartic potential if you integrate fields out. And this actually is kind of natural because you would expect naturally the second row to have two topological open primaries. And we are not really making this completely up in the sense that these powers of my two topological primary X and Y are really dictated by the real dressing you can read out from the Katz table. And then you see that Y can be just integrating out and you get something of that form. And this may be mathematically interesting because essentially what we're saying is that you get a new representation of tau functions as integrals or cubic integrals with several matrices. I don't know. So of course this is fun. It's a toy model. I think it has a very generic lesson. The very generic lesson is one that I was advertising at the beginning, is this vibration of the open modular space over the closed modular space with punctures. It's pretty clear that the very same thing should generalize to all these low dimensional models, and perhaps I should now elaborate on what I was saying before about p, q. So again, the prejudice from the 90s was that only the first models are topological, and the other ones are not. But we came up with a simple generalization of this bosonization formula. It actually works for all PQ. And the essential non-trivial fact, you're not going to succeed. Okay, let's say this is a gravity case, c equals zero. What does c equals zero mean? If you think that c equals zero means the identity operator, it's clear that you have no hope. But let's be careful. If I just consider the pure gravity theory with c equals zero, how do I get all the gravitational descendants in the game? I mean, the c equals zero theory with if I just literally take the Katz table at face value, I'm never going to be able to get all these higher operators in the business. So I need to enlarge the Katz table and consider a specific non-unitary c equals zero theory. In fact, such things are useful, for example, in percolation problems. And then you have enough structure to manufacture a beta gamma system in these higher PQ models. Now, there is clearly a relation with recent work by Aganachi, Dietrich, Klemp, Marino, Baff, and Seiberg and Shi. In fact, these two papers look at face value very different, and I would like to argue that they're really the same. So what Seiberg and Shi did, they considered the chiral, it's not the chiral ring, but it's called the idea, is the, the ring of operators goes number zero. the groundling, I'm sorry, thank you. And they found a Riemann surface naturally appearing in this game. What these authors did, they argued that the Clausian correlators for this PQ model can be computed in apparently completely miraculous way by the beam model on a particular Calabi-Yau. Now, this bosonization thing I was showing you before show that although this formulation in terms of critical bosonization and this formulation in terms of the B model look different, in fact, by the time you define the fields, you can get your topological conformal field theory. And moreover, these guys have a Calabi-Yau, these guys have a Riemann surface, but that's only because these guys are only considered the primaries and not the gravitational descendants. So what I would like to claim is that by the time you include in the ground ring the gravitational descendants, the Riemann surface will actually give you the full Calabi-Yau of the B model. So that's essentially my conclusion is that open Cfitonic number of brains is probably a good way to think about open closed dualities. I think there is a general message here. You may hope to do something similar for ADS-CFT.
You can take the limit to C equals 1. Sure.
At the self-dual radius, I believe you can, because at the self-dual radius, it's known to have a... well, I mean, one thing I know, I can play the same game if I have C equals 1 matter at the self-dual radius. Beyond that, I don't know, but I so my sort of my dream to derive ADS-CFT would be now the following: suppose you give me the ADS five sigma model, closing theory ADS five sigma model, in some explicitly workable way. I will take the limit that the tooth coupling goes to zero. That's analog. Notice that there is a sort of there's a striking analogy here. These TKs I was showing here are the same really as generalized tooth coupling. The TK goes to zero limit is a topological limit, which is the same limit in which we believe that the closing thing all of this file should become infinite dimensional symmetry such. I would take the limit and then I consider the brains in this singular conformal field theory. And if this example is of any relevance in that content, what you should find is that the open string field in these D-brains contains only the Masters Young Wheel fields. This is not something that unheard of. I mean, this is what happens, you know, by now I think I can come up with several examples which are of this structure. I have a generic closing theory, for example, the A model on a generic Calabi-Yau. Generically, the open string field theory on brains on the A model is complicated, but I go to the point where the Calabi-Yau is the star M that collapses to Chern Simons. Similarly, in this topological gravity case, I go to the point where I have topological gravity, the full open string field theory collapses to the conserved symmetric model. So I could dream that the same is true in a more sophisticated example like ADS-5. I can think that if I take the limit in where the cross-string theory becomes highly curved space, then the brains in that limit would only contain the mass and Young-Mills fields. The second...
But you require that limit that somehow becomes topological?
Well, in some sense, we know that the theory is topological in the limit because it's just free Young-Mills. So...
But not from string theory.
Well, but these examples have the same pattern, right? I take the topological, and I take the A model on a generic Calabi-Yau, the string theory is complicated, there are all these massive modes. I specialize to the case where the Calabi-Yau is of this form, this star M, and the theory collapses just to the massless modes. These examples are on the same grounds. Again, it's only in a special limit. It's only when I tune all these t's to zero that the theory becomes topological. Nevertheless, that was enough to solve the theory, because once I have this topological base point, I can do everything perturbatively. So I don't know, it's obviously just speculation, but the other thing that should happen, of course, is that if you consider D-brains in this highly curved ADS space, they have a similar property as D-brains here, that you can just replace them by closing insertion. That's how you build your ADS space, by inserting functions one by one. So that
is... In the case you talked about the N, the number of D-brains,
yes.
It's just dependent on the kind of deformation you have. I mean, you had simple deformations which only had finite number.
There are, but that's the same, you could say the same for ADS-FT.
ADS-FT is great. And then if you're looking at N is infinity.
Why? I could take N equal to 3 and G to 0, and then that would be GM leads to 0, and that would be analogous. And then here, T, these TKs are really the same as the same as tooth cup.
Higher genus string direction.
That's fine. So you have here. I mean, if I go back to the matrix model here. So if you look at these formulas, so this is just a Yamnitz. You can think of this as a Yamnitz coupling constant. And you're welcome to take. So if you want to get the genus expansion, you will do the usual proof business. Large N with the decay fixed. The limit in which the Z goes to infinity is the limit in which the T goes to zero, and is the limit in which the theory becomes free. And obviously, what I just made is a speculation, but there is no zeroth order reason why that should be false. I mean, it's a long shot, but not for trivial reasons, as far as I can tell. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Can you turn that around? I mean, we happen to know the Yang-Mills theorem is our company.
We happen to know, but apparently, the inventing the sigma model doesn't seem to be an easy enterprise.
You have to go the other way around, too.
You could try. I mean, people have tried. Popakuma, for example, had an interesting paper a few months ago on trying to do something that looked similar to spirit.
Yeah, similar to spirit, but he sort of starts from the bulk amplitude and tries to.
Well, what he really wants, no, I think he wants to go the other way around. He starts from the free
gauge theory correlations and tries to.
And tries to go back. Yeah. Now, one thing that intrigues me a lot here, and maybe this is well known, but is the fact that here you got a lot of mileage from this external matrix Z. That seems to be a beautiful way to package your information. Instead of computing, I could cite this as a toy model for ADS-FT in the sense that I could, instead of computing amplitude as a function of Z, I could fit Z and start computing correlative trace X to the K. And I would soon get very confused because those are complicated objects. So you see, the natural things that come in the game are these O2K plus one operators, which come from the expansion of a single boundary. But if you were to rewrite those in terms of trace X to the K, those would be quite complicated expressions. So I don't know, in a gauge theory, you could try to do that. You could try to stick in a external matrix there, and maybe that's a useful change of variables.
External, in the angles there, you trace F squared times.
Yeah, why not? Times some.
Because that was the gauge theory. Should we trace the question? So you're not in the single sector anymore. I mean, I guess I
don't know this.
But this matrix model.
Not this matrix model.
Like I said, okay.
Yeah, in this matrix model, yes.
But this matrix model is not. So what is the analog? This is the analog of the string field theory.
This is the analog of Yang-Mills, in my view.
Why is it the analog? Really?
And this is the open simple field. So this is the.
I thought you said this was the analog of the string field theory.
Yeah, but the open simple field.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in this, I mean, the massive open sea mods here have disappeared by some miracle. And so these are just, well, of course, here in zero dimension, there are no space and indices, but this is really the analog of the open side. So this is the analog of the gauge theory side. And what's quite striking here is that this is very pretty. The way each hole here becomes a puncture is pretty, and you may wonder whether there's anything like that you could attempt to do with a couple of mills. Here I'm computing vacuum amplitudes of the open of the matrix model. I'm not computing correlators of gauge event operators because I added this external matrix Z. That's a trick to essentially compute gauge invariant correlators, because you could, by some complicated map, relate this external matrix Z to several correlators of trace X to the K. And this seemed to be a very useful thing to do in this context.